for wetlands or wetland plantings as stated in the applicant's mitigation plan. And we also are recommending a royalty of one time for $2,003.20 be assessed for the encroachment over 1,200 square feet of state-owned non-vegetated wetlands and subaqueous land at a rate of $2 per square foot. This is for the open pile structures. The power line itself, we didn't feel like it needed another royalty, considering that it had a royalty assessed to it on the north side in the 80s when it was originally permitted there.
Any questions for Hank and Commission?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins.
Hank, when they get done with this project, they're going to have fewer poles. They're going to have fewer poles in the project than they got now, right?
Yes, that would be correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any more questions? Thank you, Hank. Is the applicant present from Dillmore? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Marsh Zellhofer. I'm the agent for the applicant.
All right. Want to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth we have begun?
Yes.
Thank you.
I don't have any statement. Mr. Badger has done an excellent job of presenting the project. I'm available for questions if you have them.
Are you in agreement with staff recommendation?
The client is in agreement with staff recommendation, yes, sir.
Any more questions for the client? Thank you, ma'am. Is anybody here objecting to this project? Is anybody objecting to this project present? No one is present to object to the project. The project is before the commission.
Move the approval on staff recommendation.
Mr. Collins, move for approval. Is there a second? Mr. Batten, second?
I second it.
You've heard the motion. The second. Any more discussion? If not, all in favor of the project say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Project will carry. Mr. Commissioner, we're ready to go to 14.
Very good. Thank you very much. All right. Public comment period, right?
Yeah, public comment period before we start on.
Okay. Anyone in the audience wish to address the commission on anything not on the agenda? I got one ahead of you in the back. We'll get you next. Come on, you're up here.
Okay. My name is Ellis W. James. I reside at 2021 in the city of Norfolk, Kenlake Place. Interesting look back on the wall. And looking back to our history is always extremely important. From Dr. Robertson in 1875 to Richard Armstrong in March of 38. But I'd like to briefly, because I know your agenda needs to move along quickly, I'd like to briefly look forward a little bit. I have a concern that I think more and more people are expressing these days. Climate change is certainly going to dramatically put new meaning into coastal management and wetlands protection. Sea rise is going to very dramatically alter this commonwealth. Now, for a long time, we have thought that these kinds of changes would take place slowly. I'm not a scientist, but I have a good measure of common sense, so my family tells me. The speed with which Greenland is melting, the Antarctic and the Arctic are melting, and all of the glaciers that are rapidly and picking up speed, by the way, retreating, signals or should signal to us, especially in a state like Virginia, that there are going to be dramatic changes that will require our attention before the fact, not after the fact. Now, some projections talk about this kind of change not occurring for quite some time. But there are many, many indications that are coming through now in this global informational age that clearly indicate that this change, if it continues on its current course, is picking up speed and is going to hit us dramatically in a much shorter period of time. Now, Mr. Pruitt and I won't be here, perhaps, but most of you other young folks are certainly going to be concerned, as I am, about what we hand off to our children and our grandchildren. And I would hope that the staff, VIMS, VMRC, and any other group that is going to be in the position of having to deal with these issues will begin to gather the information and think ahead. If we have a 3 to 4 meter rise, up to 10 to 12 meter rise in sea level, the whole Commonwealth will dramatically change. And I think we should do our homework and prepare for this. Hopefully, VMRC will still be needed to help protect the wetlands. But there is every possibility that that also will dramatically change. I know that it's not the priority issue for you of the day at this point because of all of the myriad of projects, and I have appreciated you allowing me to sit in for the last couple of years to observe the work that you do. But there is a change coming, and I would hope that the Commission will be well prepared for it, especially if it occurs more rapidly and incrementally. Thank you, Mr. Pruitt. Members of the Commission.
Thank you, sir. Very well put.
James Fletcher with the United National Fishermen's Association. I've been before you twice asking that something be done with the summer fly under fishery regulations to either allow to make it more economical for the commercial boats to work. North Carolina, in its wisdom, allowed their boats to land and retain a Virginia quota on board, pack the North Carolina, and then come into Virginia. It's worked when Virginia closed, it's a little hiccup, but it's working. It's saving the average vessel between $2,500 and $3,500 a trip in fuel. And I would ask this commission, if you would, to instruct or request that Mr. Travelstead look at a way to help the economy of the commercial fishing industry, mainly the summer flounder. And he has a model that has been worked out in North Carolina. It is not exactly perfect for what we would like to see, but it's a start. And now we're looking at October or November before the major fishery starts again. So if the commission would instruct him or request that he look at it and bring before you a option, the commercial fishing industry would greatly appreciate the economic benefits that we think that this will bring.
Is this on the March agenda of the Mid-Atlantic Council meeting in New Jersey? Yeah.
No, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anyone else on the public comment period? Anything that's not on the agenda?
Yes, sir. One subject I think I talked to Rob this week, and I think Jack will cover today, but there's been a great deal of concern this winter when we were fishing in the ocean. North Carolina is going to put in a license for saltwater, And so far in their adoption, they hadn't made any provisions for charter boat captains not to have everybody have to have a license the day they fish. That meeting is this week, and I've talked to Gary Martell as yesterday, and Jack and Rob are aware that we're discussing this. So when they meet, they'll handle it the same way we handle it, through our DGIF. They'll handle it through their regular commission down there of a saltwater license. But there are some things are missing that they hopefully will correct so that our charter boats that go into their waters will not have to have individual licenses per trip. So that's being worked on.
Rob and Jack, did you wish to comment on that now? Or?
We've been contacted by a number of anglers in Virginia who fish south of the Virginia-North Carolina line in the ocean, asking that there be some license reciprocity between our existing license and the North Carolina license that will go online next January. And I have had one discussion with Preston Pate in North Carolina on that subject. He's interested in those discussions, but not this year. They had a very long and intense battle with their General Assembly getting the license through. And it is through. It will go into effect in 2007. They'd like to see a year or so under their existing rules before they start talking about changes and reciprocity agreements. But I think they will ultimately be willing to sit down with us and talk about reciprocity so that when our fishermen go across the line in the ocean, their Virginia license will cover them in some area of North Carolina waters and vice versa them up here.
All right. Why don't you make this a permanent item on the FinFish committee until it's resolved?
Sure.
That way we can get periodic reports when you give that committee report.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you. I have a question for Jack while you're up there, if you don't mind. Can you speak to Mr. Fletcher's comments? Is that on the trawl issue?
Jim got founder,
is that something that you've already studied, or is that something you can take a look at?
Thank you, Rick.
Jim was a little bit ahead of me. I was had additional discussions with Preston Pate on this very issue last week. North Carolina, by proclamation,
can you hear him back?
Is now allowing a vessel coming into North Carolina to possess more than the North Carolina trip limit. Offload the amount that's legal in North Carolina and then proceed to a port in another state to offload the rest of it. And I think that's what Jim is after here in Virginia. I hadn't had a chance to come back with my discussions with Preston Pate and talk to the colonel about allowing that kind of thing in Virginia, but North Carolina has moved ahead of us and is allowing that. Here in Virginia, it would involve some changes to the regulation that redefine where landing is occurring. Right now, we define landing as the moment you cross the three-mile limit line. So if you're in possession of more than your trip limit, when you cross that line, you're in violation. We'd have to change that to, to make it at the dock and then make the allowance for the possession of the additional fish on board.
Well, Jack, is that something you could just review with law enforcement and tell us next month what your recommendations are?
We could describe a plan for you if we want to do this next month.
Or, either way, right.
Does that have to go to council for any reason?
No, sir.
So if we want to amend the regulation,
we can do that here.
But how much time would you need on that, Steve?
Look at it. I don't think it's an emergency at this situation. 30 days, definitely, to look at it.
When is the fishing season?
It doesn't get started up again until October.
We've got plenty of time to do that. And law enforcement doesn't have a philosophical problem with it whatsoever. Once again, it goes back to quota management and the way that we've got the regulation set up, because if you don't watch it very closely, it can really potentially impact the quota. So we want to. And it requires a significant degree of honesty on both the packer as well as the fisherman to make sure that we're going to work with them to try to help them. They're going to need to work with us from an honesty perspective to make sure that there are no games played along the way. That's very, very important.
So you'll have time to get with your North Carolina counterpart, too, before
Jack and I,
whenever you bring it back.
Yes, Mr. Commissioner.
Any other questions on that subject? Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We'll now move to item 14. Jim, you want to check back with Jack and Steve from time to time? He'll give you an update on what they're going to bring to the commission.
This item was placed on the agenda at the request of the commissioner. You'll recall last month the commission adopted some amendments to Regulation 530 to allow for a bycatch fishery for American shad in the James York and Rappahannock Rivers. And that item came up rather late on our agenda. And as a result, most of the watermen who had wanted to be here to comment on that had to leave. And I think since then, once they were made aware of the regulation that the commission adopted, some additional concerns on their part have arisen. And so the item was put back on the agenda for them to relay their concerns to you and determine whether or not you want to make any additional changes. The primary issue is the area that the regulation pertains to, James River, York River, Rappahannock River. This is the part of the permit that's being issued to the fishermen to participate in the fishery.